Well, at this time, we are anxious to welcome back from his vacation Tom Joyner. And Tom, being one of the top talk show hosts in America, and has been for years and years and years, he's one of the great men of radio and a great friend of mine. And today, we welcome Tom Joyner back from Panama. And also, a week from today, Tom is going to do it's going to be one of the best programs I think you've ever heard. So listen today and listen again next Monday, because we have in Tom Joyner one of the great national treasures in broadcasting. So Tom Joyner, I mean that with every ounce of my mind and body. So come on in and say hello.
Well, I tried to take a break from the mayhem in our country and world with a 12-day cruise through Panama, through the canal over New Year's. But things were happening so quickly, it's impossible to ignore it unless you are one of the people who want to see no evil or hear no evil. That's understandable, but while your head is in the sand, the rest of your body is ripe for destruction. We have to pay attention, and we have to do all that we can to change the descent of our country into the hellish conditions much of the world is experiencing. Barack Obama told us that he wanted to fundamentally change our country. He wanted to bring America down to the level of the rest of the world. He told us that if the winds shifted against Islam, he would stand with Islam and not America. Yet naive liberals, along with a black community that was conned into believing the first black president would take care of them, along with voter fraud on a massive scale, elected and then re-elected the very man who promised to destroy the country that had given them freedom and opportunity. Obama brought along Valerie Jarrett, a committed Muslim with deep Iranian ties, as his chief advisor. He supported the Muslim Brotherhood and has brought many of these people into the highest levels of our government. Obama appointed the most racist attorney general in the history of the country, in Eric Holder, and Holder proceeded to blatantly drive the races further apart. Obama and Jarrett headed an agenda to support Iran, the leading exporter of terrorism in the world, and signed a deal with them to provide Iran with a pathway to nuclear weapons and to turn over more than $100 billion to these savages to continue financing jihad around the world and here in America. Before the ink was even dry on the agreement Obama signed with Iran, the Iranian leaders violated it and continue to violate the agreement until this very day. Obama's response? To ignore the obvious violations by Iran and focus his attention on the Islamist Quran's demand that all non-Muslims be prevented from having weapons to defend themselves. In that regard, Barack Obama continues his assault against the gun owners in America. If he and Hillary Clinton could confiscate all of the guns in our country tomorrow, they would gladly do so. The only guns then left would be those of criminals and Islamic jihadists who do not register their guns. Barack Obama is delusional. And he has had so many liberals praise him that he honestly believes that if he says a war is over, it's over. If he says that times are great in America, then times must be great. Just last week, Obama had 17 more jihadist prisoners released from Guantanamo. They are free to return to the battlefield and the war ISIS and other terror groups are waging upon us. In the same week, a Philadelphia policeman was attacked and shot more than 10 times by a man with a criminal record who has confessed to shooting the officer in the name of Islam and in the name of ISIS. To show how coward our politicians are by those shouting Islamophobia, the mayor of Philadelphia rushed before the cameras to claim that the shooter was not connected to Islam or Muslims at all. Fear of Muslim backlash drove this mayor to become frantic before the camera. While Obama is obsessed with disarming Americans, the gun used by this jihadist who had been stolen some 4 years ago. No gun laws would have prevented this vicious attack. But the fact that the policeman did have a gun and was able to fire back at the jihadist saved his life. The rest of us deserve the same opportunity to save our lives in such circumstances. We have enough gun laws on the books. They're not enforced. New gun laws simply punish law-abiding citizens seeking protection and put us at the mercy of criminals and Islamic extremists. Obama and Hillary Clinton know this, but their rhetoric stirs up their liberal voters, and neither Obama nor Clinton has the moral character to stop pandering for votes. This is the world we leave to our children and grandchildren if we do not rise up as a people and demand change, drastic change, real change. Now, to the race for the next president of the United States. Liberal Democrats and the mainstream Republican power brokers want to maintain the status quo that has gripped Washington for decades. They don't want any changes. Nobody to rock the boat. Each party has managed to scratch each other's back and cover for each other's actions to maintain their power and influence over all of us. All of them are in panic mode, as they realize that Donald Trump nor Ted Cruz will play their silly games if elected president. Cruz has shown that he will stand up against the good old boy network of Democrats and Republicans. Cruz openly confronted Mitch McConnell for lying to him and to other Republican senators. McConnell is part of the old guard who's been in Congress way too long and who's part of the problem, not the solution. As for Donald Trump, he may be full of himself. He is. But the man would not be beholden to the Washington power brokers if elected president. Trump represents such a danger to the political establishment that it will be a miracle if the man lives until Election Day. Trump has executive abilities that are proven, and the president heads the executive branch of our government. If the right people were brought into the various cabinet positions, and Trump knows who they are, I have no doubt that he could reverse the decline in our country. Remember that it was Donald Trump who asked many months ago why Washington was not paying attention to that maniac in North Korea. Liberals rolled their eyes, but now we see that Trump was right, and that North Korea has launched yet another test of mass destruction weaponry. This time, they say it was a hydrogen bomb, which would be far more powerful than the bombs dropped upon Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which ended World War II. Trump is loud, but he is no fool. We have to elect someone who will cancel Obama's executive actions. And while I'm not ready to endorse a candidate for president as yet, Cruz or Trump present the greatest nightmare to those in D.C., who have brought this country to its knees. Marco Rubio also bears watching. The others in the Republican field have good attributes, but no chance of winning and should bow out. What we do not need is to allow the liberals who have torn this country apart to elect Hillary Clinton. While I do detest people like Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, there is no living human being that I dislike more than Hillary Clinton, and with good reason. Here's a woman whose entire adult life has been one of dishonesty, deceit, and greed. Liberals miss the point when they complain that we should not be blaming Hillary for Bill Clinton's assaults on women. While Hillary had no part in Bill's womanizing, she did turn her devious motor on to discredit, demean, and destroy the victims of Bill Clinton's assaults. She hired private detectives to try and find ways to pressure these victims into silence. We are told that we should not talk about Bill's war on women, nor Hillary's part in enabling that war to continue, because it might create sympathy for Hillary among women. Now, let me speak frankly with our female listeners today, especially Democrats who find themselves facing a vote for Hillary. If this was your husband doing what Hillary's husband did and does, How long would you go to great efforts to cover for him, to blame and destroy the lives of his victims? One indiscretion? Two? Five? 15? At what point does a woman's self-respect kick in, and at what point does a woman with moral values say, enough is enough? The Hillary Clinton that one sees on television is a caricature, a comical, grinning image that pollsters tell her will cause people to forget her unethical career. Just as Obama's clever political ads hid the fact that he was a racist, Islam's greatest ally in America, and a consistent liar, so were the campaign ads of Hillary Clinton trying to con us once again. In college, she was enamored with the communist Saul Alinsky and dreamed of working with him. At Yale, Yoko Ono recently said that she and Hillary had intimate encounters, something that Hillary did not deny because others would have come forward. It's not just Bill whose moral compass is absent. This is not your typical wife, mother, or grandma. Working on the Watergate committee to impeach Richard Nixon, Hillary was fired by a long-term Democrat due to her ethical misbehavior. Her attempts to subvert the Constitution and to obstruct justice. Her past is filled with lies and greed. She's used her position and that of her husband to amass a massive fortune. Hillary Clinton was the worst Secretary of Defense in history before the bumbling fool we have now in place, John Kerry, both appointed by a clueless Barack Obama. After Benghazi, Hillary told the president of Egypt, her daughter Chelsea, and others that the murders of our Libyan ambassador and three other Americans was a terrorist attack. Yet, she then turned and lied to the American people, blaming it on a video tape. Still not finished, Hillary Clinton stood before the coffins of the fallen Americans on the tarmac in Maryland, looked to the relatives of the Benghazi victims, looked them in the eye, and lied to them. Again, telling them it was a video incident, not a terror attack. She now says the relatives are lying, not her. The Clintons have a long history of doing whatever it takes to gain money and power. They were very adept at destroying any evidence of their scandals, until Bill was forced to admit his lies in the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Both Clintons lied about it, Hillary even calling the White House intern a Looney Tune, until Lewinsky produced a blue dress with Bill's DNA on it. Finally, they had failed to destroy the evidence that did them in. Fast forward to Hillary's appointment as Obama's Secretary of State. Seeking total control over any and all future evidence against her, Hillary had a personal email server installed in her New York mansion. She conducted official government business on that personal server, even though she had been told not to use it, and had in fact called to task an underling for using his personal server. All of Hillary's emails were out there for any spy or hacker to copy. She put her personal interests above our national security. When caught, Hillary again lied. She swore that she had never received or sent any classified emails on that personal server. We now know that so far, more than 1,300 emails with classified information were on her server, along with two top-secret emails. She flaunted national concerns of security openly. Hillary first said that she had just used Bill's server, but Bill then said he did not send emails, so he had no need for a server. Then Hillary told us that she had paid a State Department employee to set up her personal server, hoping the lie about it being Bill's server would be forgotten, and a willing mainstream media did hush it up. When the man who set up Hillary's server was called before Congress, he took the Fifth Amendment and refused to turn over email evidence. Why? Because Hillary had caused more than 30,000 of her emails to be erased, and her server scrubbed clean. Evidence destroyed, just as it has been destroyed throughout her entire career. Think about that for a moment. Why would anybody erase emails and have their server scrubbed unless they had a reason to believe there was evidence on there that would show their criminal activity? I would want my emails saved so that any questions about my honesty could be answered. That's only common sense. Now, the FBI has been investigating Hillary Clinton, and there is more than enough evidence to show that she violated criminal laws and then lied repeatedly. But given the corruption of the Obama administration, it's doubtful that his attorney general will indict Clinton. If so, there is no doubt in my mind that Obama would pardon Clinton. She knows too much about Obama and Valerie Jarrett. Both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton no longer have a license to practice law. You cannot lie under oath and remain a licensed attorney. The evidence against Hillary Clinton is so strong that I believe the FBI will be forced to recommend her indictment. But it then goes to Obama's Attorney General puppet, Loretta Lynch, and she will more than likely follow in Eric Holder's footsteps and subvert justice. I want you to think about something. Remember Brian Williams, the NBC anchorman who was embarrassed and demoted for establishing his activities while reporting the news in a manner that embellished him? Consider that Hillary Clinton has embellished her own experiences far more times than Brian Williams and has yet to be held accountable by a fawning media. Remember when Hillary said that she ran from a helicopter in Bosnia under enemy fire? It was a monstrous lie, but the media did not hold Hillary to the same standards. Why? Because there is no one else on the Democrat side to continue on in the bully pulpit at the White House besides an elderly, senile socialist named Bernie Sanders, whose proposed giveaway programs would double our national debt, or a former mayor who has as much of a chance of being elected president as Porky Pig. Believe me, most Democrats would love to be far removed from the umbrella of Hillary Clinton's lies and deceptions, but they have allowed their party to be painted into a corner by two of America's most adept and corrupt politicians, Bill and Hillary Clinton. There's much, much more truth to be revealed about Hillary Clinton, but anybody who has not gotten the picture by now simply does not want to see it. Those who voted for Barack Obama have their own crosses to bear. But if we follow up 8 years of fundamental change under a man who would be our dictator, with the election of Hillary Clinton and her main advisor, the dedicated Muslim Huma Abedin, this country will be lost within 5 to 10 years at the outside. The very outside. Now, while I did not author the following solution to our problems, I wholeheartedly endorse it. Political corruption can feel daunting and remote. We need to call on our politicians and public officials to be accountable for their actions. And how can we trust them if we don't know what they're doing? We must demand that they put into place regulations which will force them to act openly. Then their corruption cannot be hidden, and our trust in the political process can improve. We can monitor electoral campaigns and party activities. If state resources are abused, we have to report it. And if regulations to prevent corruption aren't in place, we have to demand them. Rules about politicians' conflicts of interest, for example, or regulations to stop corporate lobbying and political funding from distorting the Democrat process. If companies must publish their political donations, they can then show that their contributions aren't intended to win favors. The average American, at least the 50% who pay taxes these days, are too busy trying to put food on the table, raise their children, and save for their children's college education to get deeply involved with the work necessary to clean up the corruption of politics and politicians. I understand that. But we can't just allow politicians on both sides of the aisle to continue to act out of their own greed at the expense of our country. There was a time in America when the media played the role of watchdog for us. But that time is long past. When I first entered radio in 1963, those of us reporting the news were told to leave our personal opinions at the door. Just give the facts, not opinions, and we took it seriously. The liberal teachings in our schools, colleges, and universities have taken their toll. Journalism graduates today and for the past several decades have been brainwashed by a faculty that is overwhelmingly liberal and who imparts their perverted view of the world onto naive students whose parents seem oblivious to the dangers. These are the same people who have turned from being our watchdog to being a lapdog for liberal Democrats who never saw a vote they would not buy with other people's money. We can no longer trust the mainstream media, and that leaves many Americans uninformed and susceptible to the false pictures drawn for them by today's media elites. Now, the purpose of my commentaries each week is to break down world events into easy-to-understand language for the average American, people who are either too busy to keep up with what's happening or those who are overwhelmed by it all. There has never been a time in our country's history when more is at stake. We see a world and our country in chaos. We have young people on our streets congratulating North Korea for developing a hydrogen bomb, which can be used by a very young, untested Korean leader to destroy them in mid-celebration. We see young women endorsing the idea of Sharia law in America, a law that would immediately deny them basic rights, that would force them to be covered head to foot when outside of their home, and would subject them to whippings by their husbands and complete subjugation to women. We see paid professional protesters on our streets making demands and collecting government benefits instead of holding down a job. Students, college students, demanding unisex bathrooms, safe havens for minorities, and free tuition. Followers of Islam on our streets demanding that we change our country to look more like the hellhole they left in the Middle East, to throw out our constitution and accept Sharia law. Muslim imams in mosques here in America preaching hate and recruiting for jihad. We see a president and politicians who refuse to acknowledge the danger of Islamic extremism, and who continue to swamp us with foreign refugees that we know nothing about, and whose numbers include ISIS jihadists who are intent on killing us. Last New Year's Eve saw Germany and Finland reaping what they had sown in the guise of Muslim refugees and North Africans who assaulted and raped women at will. More than 500 in Germany alone have come forward. In Cologne, Germany, more than half of those savages were refugees who had been admitted to Germany. The same was true across Europe. That's what America will look like soon if we do not stop the insanity proposed by Barack Obama in welcoming hordes of Syrian refugees in America, people with no records for us to check, and who follow a faith that leads them to jihad against us. Are they all jihadists? We have no way to know. But what we do know is that some of them, even many of them, are. We also know that radicals leave the United States for Middle Eastern countries to fight and kill in the name of Islam and Allah, and yet are able to return to this country and tuck themselves away in our neighborhoods. If our security cannot stop that activity when they have flight records, how on earth can we believe that Homeland Security can stop Iraqi and Syrian refugees with no records of their lives for us to examine? When Donald Trump said that we should stop all immigration by Muslims into America, the liberal heads exploded. Trump was right, but he did not go far enough. We should stop all immigrations from any foreign country for a period of time until we get a handle on what's happening, who the refugees are, what their intentions are. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other terror groups have declared war against us. But while they war upon us, Obama refuses to declare war against them, or even to acknowledge that there is such a thing as Islamic extremists. America was built upon Judeo-Christian values. Many of our military men and women have given their lives to defend those values. It is sad and disheartening to see what's happening to a once great country, but it was predictable. America is less than 300 years old, and yet Muslim countries that have been at war with each other and the rest of the world for thousands of years seek to blame their hatred of us on us. What Islamic State has contributed any invention or new technology to the world in the last 500 years? None. Their time has been occupied by hate and violence. They have been taking revenge upon one another for thousands of years and do not have the basic intelligence to understand that revenge is a vicious cycle that never ends. I hearken back to the words of Golda Meir, the Israeli leader, who said, "We will have peace in the Middle East when Arabs learn to love their children more than they hate Israel." Anybody who leaves America to fight with jihadists or to be more radicalized by them should never be permitted back into this country. Their passports and their citizenship should be canceled. Their friends and relatives should be profiled, and their activities watched until it's clear that they themselves offer no danger to our homeland. Anyone who admits to attacks in the name of Islam or Allah in America should be immediately put to death. Not as jihadists or non-believers. You've got to be a student of common sense when you look at this. Put them to death humanely, not as jihadists. Put non-believers to death in the Middle East. Those convicted in our courts of Islamic attacks should not be allowed to linger in our jails for decades before being put to death. These savages measure justice in their minds by how swift and how cruel they kill others. They only recognize the sword and violence, and we must not be reticent to return the favor to them. For those who think that what I prescribe is harsh, I want to remind you that we are at war. These savages will not rest until we are dead, or until they are dead. Only fools would choose the option of allowing them to kill us. We must understand that Islamism is the principal source of terrorism. Other poor nations on earth do not produce hordes of terrorists, while Islamic states do spawn them in huge numbers. And that puts the lie to Obama's spokesperson's talking points about how jihadists would stop their violence if they had jobs or if they were more prosperous. Most of the leaders of Islamic jihadism come from wealthy families. In any event, if they spent their time being productive instead of riding along in filthy robes, firing AK-47s, or launching suicide bombing attacks in the name of Allah, their earnings potential would be far greater. Now, I've been working for months on research into how radical Islam works and why it should terrify us unless we take the steps necessary to eliminate it from our world. And I will present those facts and the solutions in a commentary next Monday. Now, I've been in broadcasting for more than 53 years, with the last 48 of those years engaged in talk radio. I graduated from the University of Common Sense and learned how to apply it. For decades, I warned of what we would see come to pass in America. Liberals scoffed at the idea that excessive violence promoted in our society would breed more violence, that explicit sex used to sell everything from automobiles to Cracker Jacks would condition young minds to accept it as normal. The moral fiber of our nation had to be taken from us in order to position us for self-destruction. Communists and socialists among us, with financial help from outside of our borders, chipped away at our faith. They took the religious rudder out of our lives and replaced it with phrases like, "If it feels good, do it." The God that created us was demoted. These changes in society began very gradually, but have now begun to attack us with greater speed. When the world experiences another tragedy, people ask why God allows it to happen. The answer? When we turn our backs on God, He no longer answers. If we turn back, we would be heard again. But rather than turn back to Him, too many Americans have hardened their hearts. Atheists use our courts to try and remove religion from our lives. Why? If these people are so sure that there is no God, why do they concern themselves with attacking that which is not there? Now, I don't believe in unicorns, but if you do, I simply leave you alone with your delusions. None of us like to think about the end of the world, but there are movements like ISIS among us who see it as their duty to destroy the world and all in it in the name of Allah, who they call, ironically, the Merciful. Now, it's hard for us to get our minds around the fact that there are incredibly diabolical forces at work in our world and here in America who seek to infiltrate governments and lead our destruction from within. We have such forces at work in our government today, and if we allow this cancer to continue to grow, we will wither and die. The answer? Turn back to God. Expel those among us who do not share American values and stop the immigration of those who do not intend to assimilate into our culture, support our values, and be proud to be Americans. Not some hyphenated mumbo-jumbo, but true Americans. People who come here for freedom and liberty, for the greatest opportunities in the world, and who left behind the allegiances to a foreign government. Those were the immigrants of our past who we can be proud of and who were proud to be a part of the United States. We must not allow the fragmentation of our society. We do not owe any citizen of any foreign country entry into the United States. It is a privilege to come here. It is not your right. Turning now to a subject that I warned of more than 2 years ago and which has come to pass. The world's economy is on life support. Americans are seeing their savings disappear right before their eyes, and sadly, it will get worse. Adding to the concern is the history of our world in which major powers turn to war to hide their dying economy from its people. North Korea could not exist without financial support from China. But China's economy is in a free fall, and the powers that be in China cannot afford to let their people know how dangerous times are there. Moreover, North Korea and China possess weapons of mass destruction. I tell you this to inform, not to alarm you. Pretending that all is well is not in your best interest. In the short term, all of us should do what I have been advising for so long. Get and keep some cash on hand. In an emergency, even those with considerable assets may find them hard to get to. It's just common sense in these days to have some immediate cash on hand. Those who say, well, I just don't have any money at the end of the week, look carefully. You do have some. You've just got to change priorities. You might have to cancel cable. You might have to not buy another color TV set. But you do have some options. In the long term, we have to forget loyalty to any political party or the politician who pats us on the back every election cycle until our vote has been cast. Think of your country, your children and grandchildren, and help clean out a corrupt political system that has brought us to the brink. There is no reason for America to be broke, strapped by giveaway programs designed to buy votes, by billions of dollars in government waste each year, foreign aid to countries that hate us and plot to kill us, strapped by the costs of constant armed conflict while trying to be the world's policeman, and by our inability to do whatever it takes to win conflicts that we do engage in. We face the greatest danger in civilization's history, since the beginning of time. Yet Democrats and Republicans alike argue over personal power and greed rather than coming together to save this country and our planet itself. Do not dismiss events of today as something that will correct itself in time. It won't. We must demand real change, dramatic change, or the world as we know it will no longer exist. I appreciate your listening today, and I hope you will tune in next Monday at 3:15 when I have been researching Islam from the inside, jihad from the inside, and we'll try to break it down so it's understandable to all of us. We must pay attention. And God bless America.